Yeah, yeah, we got to change that music. There we go. Hey, welcome back. You're listening to Ask Fred Johnson here on FM News 111.10 KBND. Happy to be with you this Saturday morning. Hopefully you're out there having some fun. Is that, we got a call there, Sammy? Hi there, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hi, Fred. Good morning.
Good morning. Who is this?
Hey, this is Charlie.
Charlie, how are you this fine day?
I'm doing very well, it's a nice day in February. I'm not shoveling snow, so that's all good.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. Well, I mean, if you're looking for some chores, I can give you my address.
One of the reasons for my call, of course, is to pick your brain, you know all about real estate far better than the rest of us, most of us out here.
Well, I don't know about that. I'll give it a go.
And I relate this back. I was in at a local title office earlier this week and sold a piece of land. But at any rate, there was only one person in this huge office. And I'm just wondering, in relation to listings and closings, what is the trend? And then the other part of the question is, as mortgage rates start to increase, which they are, is that going to bring a decrease in sale prices?
Okay. Boy, those are two loaded ones, Charlie. I'll get right after that.
Okay, thank you.
So the first one, you know, and just like we saw in the news this week, you know, and as you know, if you listen on occasion, I try to dispel some of the mistruths that are out there that are pushing forward all the times in the media that are just painting this rosy picture. And yes, the number of sales are down. And yes, increased interest rates are having an impact on the market. Where that impact is being felt first and foremost is with both the mortgage brokers and the title companies. And the reason for that is in recent years, nearly three quarters of their market, 60 to 75% of their market, was refinances, where people were refinancing their existing home. So if you take a mortgage broker, and let's just make it really easy, before they were doing 100 loans, now they're only doing 25 loans, and each of those loans needed to close at the escrow office, and now there's only 25 loans going through where they used to have 100 loans going through. You see what I mean? It impacts the thing. So that's the reason why
The refis, of course. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
That's one of those things about interest rates like that. It's like, you know, driving and just pulling the emergency brake. It doesn't sort of phase out or slowly move away or anything. I mean, it just stops. It just stops one afternoon at 3 o'clock. Boom, you know, and you're done. And basically, as the interest rates started to jump up, there was really no incentive for people in existing homes, unless they were in, you know, had some other issues, for them to refinance for a lower rate, because there's always an associated expense with the refinance. You know, it's one of the things that's often overlooked. So if you're going to save some money, and it costs you money to save some money, it's nice to take that savings and see how many months at that savings would it take to recoup or offset the expense that it cost you to get the refinance, and then how long are you going to hold the property to find out, you know, is it worth your while? And so as soon as that number starts to go up, and it's like, wow, you know, it's going to take a while, and I can't get the money as inexpensive, why don't we just stay with the existing mortgage that we have? So that's the reason why you're seeing in some of the escrow officers a little bit of trimming of their staff. You're seeing the mortgage brokers, the number of them, you know, we'll see some attrition in that industry as well. And the interest rates, it by all speculation, I guess, you know, all the prognosticators, you know, everybody acts like they've got a crystal ball, Charlie, but I don't know that they do. You know, interest rates sort of spiked a little bit over 7% in November of 2022. The speculation is this year we'll see some, what they're calling stabilization or regulation, where things will settle back in. And they're anticipating that it's going to be somewhere in that 5.5 to 6% is where rates will settle in. To go back to that 2 and 3% that we saw, we just won't see that in the foreseeable future. So what happens with that is we hit the spike, which absolutely threw the brakes on everything. You know, everybody was just sort of sitting around going, my goodness, house prices just went up. My payment just went up $700 a month. I can't afford to buy a house. And builders were going, well, maybe we shouldn't be building houses. And just sort of everything kind of didn't really screech to a halt, but certainly slowed down near the end of 22. Now, as we're coming into January, we're through January, we're starting to see that the interest rates are coming down in the low sixes, That's making housing available to some people again. So there's more buyers starting to come back into the market. And this last week, we actually saw a fair amount of new listing inventory hit the market. So it feels that, you know, maybe they're coming out from undercover through the winter months. And the interest rates lowering a little bit is actually creating some activity. And that. The next portion of your question was about, will we see softening in home prices? And we did see some of that through the winter months, particularly those people that were looking at high interest rates, sitting with a vacant house that was on the market to sell, and maybe they'd already relocated or the house was sitting vacant or something along that line. Obviously, in that situation, the motivation increased dramatically. And so they were willing to either reduce the price or offer a credit to do an interest rate buy down for the potential purchaser, or both. You know, it was anything to get so that I don't sit with a vacant house here in the winter months. The problem that we have, and this is the underlying problem, it's amplified here in Oregon, but it's really a problem, Charlie, throughout the country. And that is that since the recession, there have been a number of people, I've got it here on one of the papers that I'm going to go through today, but it seems to me it's something like there's 20 million potential home buyers a year that are entering the market, right? And so if you just sort of take that as a regular drumbeat, you know, everybody's aging, everybody's getting married, everybody's starting their homes, starting their careers, doing whatever, the need for housing, just each year, regardless of what's happening with interest rates and all that sort of thing, the people, the population, those numbers, that demand continues to roll into the market. When we went through the recession, we came out of the recession, there were some builders that didn't build for 6 years. And so there was a backlog of properties. Then when the pandemic came, the next thing they did is they slowed down and they quit building. Well, the march still continues. There's still 20 million a year that are trying to come into the market. And then this year, when we had all of the high prices and the interest rates and all that, once again, the builders stopped pulling on their building permits. So that reoccurring statement that we have low inventory is really that there's not new inventory being added to the pool, and there's certainly no surplus. And surplus is the thing that pushes prices down. Surplus is kind of like, I used to with one of the agents in my office, it's kind of like, if you're at the coast and you're buying salmon, and there's only two salmon, the guy's going to get top dollar for it. And if you go in there and everybody on the dock all limited out and there's just salmon everywhere, there's more salmon than there are people that want them. The price is going to go down. And it's sort of the same thing with housing. If there's not many houses available, it's still going to continue to prop it up. So what the speculation is this year is that with those interest rates starting to settle back down into that, you know, 5.5-6% range, what we're going to see is not that double-digit appreciation, but single appreciation, single-digit, you know, 5%, something like that. So basically,
sure, it goes back to historical, the inflation rate of housing, you know, roughly 2-3%.
Yes, you know, along with where everything else should be, you know, it should be in that, you know, 2-3, maybe 5 on the outside. But it will basically prop up those values, and the reason that it's propping up those values is because there's not a lot of supply entering the market.
Yeah, and Central Oregon seems to be high demand regardless of what the rest of the national economy is doing.
Well, and one of the things that Oregon is doing, and it's a land use issue more than anything else, but where they're trying to convince everybody that everybody really wants to live in high-rise apartments and you want to live in core area density and you want to ride your bicycle to work and all that sort of thing. Honestly, when I get around and talk with people, I'm not told that that's what people want to live and how they want to live, but yet the policymakers are moving hard in that direction. So what it's doing, once again, is it's creating, yeah, we've got a bunch of apartments under construction, but we don't have a lot of single-family homes under construction.
Could I ask you just one? It's
sure.
Kind of related to it. The urban growth boundary, and I understand it's a 20-year supply of land to build housing. How close is Deschutes County to that 20-year, I mean, or is it expanding, or you know, are we only at 10 years now?
Okay, so Charlie, I want to jump onto this one, but it's going to take longer than the 30 seconds that I've got between now and the hard deck. Can you just stay on hold with me for a minute? We'll get to it right after the break.
Sure.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in. You're listening to Ask Fred Johnson here on FM News 100, 1110 KBND.